This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, so listen to this. Archbishop Makgoba said about Cyril Ramaphosa, he too can be replaced. The events of the past 15 months have shown us that we cannot rely solely on changes in the presidency to turn our country around. Well, that's true. Because even though we changed presidents, not a huge amount has changed. He said the country faced a new struggle with values and institutions rather than personalities. And he said we need to build strong systems which cannot be undermined by one party or person's whim. If we want to ensure that government works to improve the lives of all of our people, especially those of the poorest of the poor, we have to strengthen our institutions. Apparently you actually looked up his homily.
I did. I looked it up, and there was a piece of it on YouTube, which was all, it was very poetic and with lots of symbolism, candlelight into the light.
Well, Archbishop, it's a pleasure to speak to you again. He's on the line, Archbishop Thabo Makgoba. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Gareth, and how are you?
Very, very well. We were all very struck by your sermon over the weekend. I know Easter is a big time in churches across South Africa and the world, and I also know that Easter is a great time for us to take a moment to reflect on all the important things going around us, to put them into context. And in the case of an election year, for some wise words from the pulpit, where a lot of politicians seem to be running from pulpit to pulpit, taking advantage of whatever religious institution they can to spread their electioneering message, you instead said we should be just a little bit wary of these guys.
Yes, Gareth, I was just saying it's very critical for us not to forget the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are, let's look at the content of what they are saying, and let's look at where we've come from. Have some of the promises been empty? Have they been fulfilled? What of equality of opportunity? Do we have access to, you know, basic things? Have people really kept their promises? And what about some people who are on the party list? Are they the people that will really serve the values that characterize us, or we are longing for as South Africans, or we are just hearing the message and voting en bloc without applying our mind? So I think that was the greater call. And Easter, it's beautiful in the sense that Easter reminds us that you can bury the truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. The stone will be opened.
Archbishop Pumi Mashiko is with me. She read your homily over the weekend too, and she said it was very moving. You used a lot of beautiful language about candles and light.
And symbolism.
You know, and
thank you, Pumi.
I know that you also have a role which is more secular on the Electoral Code of Conduct Observer Commission. What does the Electoral Code of Conduct Observer Commission do, and what would you like it to do, and what would you like us to know about it?
It is formed really on the basis of the code of conduct that all the politicians sign before the elections, committing themselves that in terms of their electioneering, they'll respect each other, they'll respect each other's posters, they'll respect the rules governing the election. So the commission really seeks to hold all the political parties to that code of conduct that they've signed. We want to say you can't sign something and not apply it and be incongruent in practice. Some of the things that we've done in the past is when the rhetoric of politicians has been demeaning to each other with the possibility of creating what we call hotspots or violence in a particular ward, we would call those politicians around the table here at Bishop's Court and say, hey, remember the code of conduct says you will behave in this particular way, respect the other. In certain instances, the IEC officials were said to have been biased or something like that. So we'll call those IEC officials and say, hey, this is the perception, or this has been said about your staff. And then we will iron out some of those things. So the main tool that we have as the ECOC is we bring moral pressure to bear on the political processes before the election, and during the elections we go about observing some of the polling stations as commissioners.
So, Archbishop, you also have criticized Parliament from time to time, saying that barring some exceptions, they have failed abysmally in their oversight obligations towards the executive. Do you ever get blowback from people? St. George's Cathedral is right next to Parliament. Do they ever pop in there and say, excuse me, Archbishop, we'd like to just tell you to stick to religion and we'll stick to politics?
Well, I do get that from time to time. Got it. Let's say, Archbishop, this part of your sermon, we can't see it in the Bible.
Wow.
Where does it come from? But I always say, when you do a sermon, you read a particular biblical context. You know, Gareth, you haven't come back. You're an Anglican. I'm still working at that. But you read a particular passage. You look at the context. You say, what is the application of that particular passage today? I mean, for example, I was drawing very much on the Ezekiel God who says, I will take your heart of stones and give you a heart of flesh. You will be my people and I will be your God. And said, now, how can South Africa be like that? And the constitution of South Africa also speak like Ezekiel. And when you look at those three women that were at a grave, who saw Christ's grave open. So you can't, the Bible putting the women right at the center still abuse women and girl children. So those are some of the things that I draw in terms of today, and I link it to the Bible. But a lot of people will just write the usual line on Twitter or Facebook, hey, Archbishop, your sense is white monopoly capital, and stick to those. But because it's not about the Archbishop, really, it's about the message, it's about really try to inculcate biblical values and really values in our context. I accept the criticism, but I hope they are hearing the message.
Your Grace, my biggest concern, you know, is the church seems to, and we know how in South Africa the church has always played a very central role in terms of, I was saying to Gareth a little bit earlier, in terms of our struggle days and pre the new South Africa, there was a very central role that the church played because it gave us an opportunity to gather and have these hard conversations with each other, but also to lift the spirits of the people. But now where we're sitting in a South Africa where the politics are one thing and they're very robust, but what we're also seeing is we are seeing a church body that's disintegrating into a particular, for want of a better word, being run by all sorts of charlatans and promising all sorts of things that people can't actually believe in, and that sense of faith that the people have is being compromised in that sense. Is there still a big role for the church to play in politics, or should the church be concentrating on making sure that the church body is not playing with people's faith?
I think that's a very good point, and we regret that particular position. When I say we, I'm also speaking as part of the South African Council of Churches or the National Church Leaders Consultation, and we've just met to reflect on that and to reflect on the Commission for Religious and cultural rights that wants to legislate the church, and we're saying we're going to push back because legislating the church against the backdrop of those charlatans is not addressing the point. But the church still has a role to play in society. We are an institution which belongs to God. But we are run by ordinary, fallible human beings like myself, yourself, and the others who are trying to do something bigger than ourselves. And I'm not condoning the charlatans and those that make others to eat all sorts of things. But the ultimate vision of the church is to be the body that does not live to itself, that is not self-sufficient, but that points others that you can really do better here. You can exist for others. You can serve. You can point to all that is just, all that is good, and all that is noble. We get it hopelessly wrong from time to time, but that is the vision. And the church has a role in politics, because politics is nothing else but the ordering of how the citizens ought to live within the city. And the church is part and parcel of that. If the church says we're going to relegate ourselves to a particular corner, the church will have failed in its mission, because I believe that God is God of all, or no God at all. And so the church is called to be in every aspect of society. Let me make an example. We partnered with the Department of Health. We were Minister Motsoaledi. We were doing the TB awareness campaign. We got people to be tested in our churches. And in the past, we did pre-testing for people to know their HIV status. We fought with the stigma. We are still running some of the best schools in South Africa. Well, some of them are very expensive. We started one, which is not expensive, in Sophiatown, the Vuleka schools. So there are some of those, what we call non-prophetic processes that we do to make society cohere. But it's only when the church speak out to say, hey, wait, we're providing social work, we're providing education, we're providing access, and there are corrupt officials, then they say the church is involved in politics.
Archbishop, I'd also like to ask you, the elections around the corner. Do you feel that it is appropriate for politicians to use the church, as I mentioned in the opening to this discussion, as a podium for them to electioneer? And would you allow that, for example, in your own church? Would you allow addresses from the leaders of the various political parties? Do you think that that's something that that should be encouraged, or is it something we should be avoiding?
Gareth, I think it's a bit problematic in the sense that who do you allow or who don't you allow? For example, if I allow Party X to come and campaign at the cathedral in Cape Town, I should allow all of them. If I don't allow the other, I need to be clear why I don't allow the other. So maybe the best thing is I've tried to work with the state, I've tried to work with the government, I've tried to work with everybody, but not to be partisan, because once you are partisan as a church, now you are dividing society. I remember when I was Bishop of Grahamstown, there were a group of people from the same political party, and they were fighting, and they both came to the church, and they said, please mediate within our political party. We were able to walk with them to resolve the partisan issues. But I would really discourage favoring one political party as opposed to the other. If the church were to say, okay, fine, like some of you guys do in the media, we have all these party political people sit down here, debate and talk to our congregants about your manifestos and let them ask questions, then that is better. You've provided space and you've invited everyone. So the church must avoid polarizing God's people. That's really my message.
Your Grace, I have one more question around just kind of the role of Christianity in in politics. You know, around the world, there's been much talk of the decline of Christianity. I mean, churches are seeing less and less people coming to church, and it's growing in Africa. But what we're also seeing is we're seeing a huge rise in this ultra-right wing kind of organizations. And they use Christianity. They use the Bible very much like the way that the apartheid government used the Bible to justify their their views and their biases. How does the church in South Africa, and we were talking about the number of faith-based organizations that are sitting on the ballot, how do you strike that balance, you know, as the Council of Churches, but also as the Electoral Code of Conduct kind of observer in your role in that space, kind of mitigate that and balance those two things out?
It is very difficult to balance, but the good thing is, as the National Church Leaders Consultation, we meet in between throughout the months and years. We not only just a Council of National Church Leaders Consultation, but we also have the interfaith component there. We meet with the Jews, the Muslims, the Baha'i, and everyone on certain projects. Like, for example, there is one where we've been discussing with the mining executive and mining trade unions about how mining can be a source of good within the communities where they work. And we will raise issues like it is important that water should not be contaminated, how they should treat each other. And we've had these courageous conversations as the voice of faith. So we're fortunate in South Africa that we've had that common struggle against apartheid as a faith group. Well, yes, there are a couple of churches that have come here that do not have that history in South Africa that will say, hey, but Archbishop, just preach the word. But again, if you analyze when they say preach the word, it's like they take the word and put it in a particular culture or certain minorities, like you're saying, where they say God has ordained that a particular race, a particular gender, a particular social standing is more blessed than a particular one. I think that is a poor reading of the Bible. It's not really understanding the nuances of the message. We still have those challenges, but we challenge each other. We speak up, and we remind ourselves. And it's very difficult. I know Archbishop Desmond Tutu always says, "God is not a Christian. God is God of all. He's God of Muslims, God of Jews, God of those that are struggling to understand God." And so those are some of the things that we wrestle with. But we're not yet there, and we regret that. In places like America, like you're saying, people have taken little Jesus and have made him into this beautiful doll that is so pure, and they've forgotten that he was born in the streets of Palestine, and he came as a young Palestinian riding a donkey, not in huge armored vehicles and in palaces.
Archbishop, thank you so much for making some time for us this morning. I hope we'll have you in the studio again sometime soon. Your book is still around. I've seen it in shops, Faith and Courage. People need to see that if they haven't seen it already. And good luck with your work in the Electoral Code of Conduct Observer Commission. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Gareth.
Thank you. That's the Archbishop of Cape Town, the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, Archbishop Thabo Makgoba.
This is CliffCentral.com.